It's Friday, the 24th of April, day 34. When I embarked on this diary at the beginning of this period of voluntary house arrest, it was with a feeling that it might be fun to learn a new skill, and that in any event it would only be for a fortnight. Well, here we are, over a month later. I've never done anything like this before. I'm a writer and a lecturer and a geek of sorts, and so it's been chastening to realise that this really is a different medium from a printed diary. In fact, it's much more like a podcast, another new medium which people, and indeed the BBC for a time, used to mistakenly believe was a form of broadcast radio. To make this audio diary medium work, one ideally needs to be a master of what the Italians call sprezzatura, wickedly defined once by Harry Berger as, quote, the ability to show that one is not showing all the effort one obviously put into learning how to show that one is not showing effort, unquote. Ha! Put that in your pipe and smoke it, as my mother used to say. Maybe it's easier to think of it as well-practiced naturalness or rehearsed spontaneity, a talent possessed by only the most gifted conversationalists. My colleague David Runciman has it. He can give a one-hour lecture without a single note and make it sound as though he's making it up, thinking it out as he goes. I once asked him how he does it. He said that he thinks of a talk as if it were a journey. He works out what the waypoints are on that journey, and then, as he speaks, finds the path from one waypoint to the next. I've tried that, and it doesn't work, at least it doesn't work for me. I get to, say, the third waypoint, and then suddenly notice that the view from there is way more interesting than I realised, and so I embark on an unanticipated diversion into uncharted territory, and before you can say snap, I'm completely lost and the time is up. David's technique reminds me, though, of a trick that the great historian Tony Judt deployed towards the end of his life when he was completely immobilised by the disease that killed him. At the end of each day, after his carers had gone to bed, he would be left on his own with only his thoughts for company. And so he developed a wonderful way of assembling them so that they could be conveyed to an assistant in the morning. Tony had strong memories of a chalet in which he had stayed sometime in the past, and he could recall each of the rooms with a vivid accuracy. So in those long hours of the night, as he brooded on various subjects, he would mentally park each reflection in a different room of that long-remembered dwelling, so that they could be retrieved in the morning. The resulting book, The Memory Chalet, is both awe-inspiring and utterly delightful. In thinking of what I might say in this diary every day, I've been using an approximation to Tony Judt's technique. When I find something that might be worth talking about, I park it in a virtual room in my mind in the hope that it might be useful later. The trouble is that I come on lots of stuff during a day of quarantine browsing and reading, and so in the end my memory chalet looks less like a neat Swiss alpine dwelling and more like our garage, with its jumble of bikes, tools, garden implements, and the detritus of years of not throwing anything out. Still, one of the items in my memory garage today is a thoughtful piece by the philosopher Evan Selinger, arguing that what we are experiencing as Zoom fatigue, the feeling of exhaustion that comes on home workers at the end of a day spent online in virtual meetings, is actually a kind of mourning. A root cause of our collective tiredness, Evan writes, is the painful awareness that life can't go back to normal. Every video call to someone you wish you could see in person but can't is a memento mori of a world that's been shattered and can't be revived, a symbol of tragic deaths and shattered hopes and dreams. It's only natural to want to be your best self during those moments, to be so damned present and empathetic it hurts. It's no wonder our better angels, which are what the situation calls for, are exhausted.